He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, March 10th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 24 years behind the wheel. We've got a rally going on again today. Without question, the catalyst was the cooler than expected inflation CPI report that came out today. And right now you've got the Dow at a new all-time high. It's done that 2 days in a row now, and then it's fallen back at the end of the day. That seems to be the resistance right around 32,000. But right now we're 183 points above that. Dow up 350 to 32,182. Over at the NASDAQ, the relief rally continues there for the second day in a row after many, many days of sell-off. The NASDAQ's up 162 today. I can just say, looking under the surface of it yesterday, I haven't looked yet today, it didn't look as good underneath the surface, underneath the hood, as it sounded. It sounded like it was really purring along. But it was mostly in the more speculative area of the market, I would say, not a real quality move. The S&P, it's hitting a new high, but it's hit it twice now, 2 days in a row, and has not been able to hold it. We'll see what happens today. The S&P up 35 to 39.11. Small caps continue to do very well, especially the small cap value arena. Small caps up about 1.5% here again today. Let's see, the all-important yield, the 10-year yield, where are we at today? That is critical these days. You got to believe it's off a little bit with the benign inflation report. The 10-year's at 1.53, so it's down just one basis point today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we're getting a two-day rally, okay? In the NASDAQ, the Dow really never has taken a break. The Dow remains strong as that move towards cyclical stocks that respond to a recovering economy seem to be the sweet spot in the market. And we continue to see that move away from high P.E. growth to lower P.E. value. That seems to be a trend right now. We had, as I said, the Dow hit a new all-time high yesterday. Then it backed off. The NASDAQ bounced yesterday, and it's bouncing again today. I looked under the hood, however, of the NASDAQ yesterday, and it didn't seem as strong as that 465 points looked. The index looked okay, but underneath the components, I thought it was a pretty weak rally. So we'll see. We'll see. I just think that lower P.E., you know, I've ridden the NASDAQ for the last year. I've ridden the high-growth stocks for the last year, and I've done quite well in that arena. Quite well. And I just think it's time to lower the temperature just a little bit in the P.E., price to sales, price to book value, etc., and do a little more shopping in that value area of the market as opposed to the growth area. Now, having said that, I still own quite a few growth stocks that did not break down during the sell-off in the NASDAQ. Well, you know, the usual stocks did their thing yesterday. You had Tesla bouncing hard. I think it was down around its 200-day moving average. The dip buyers moving in. I think there was also a fair amount of short covering yesterday. A lot of people had shorted a lot of these high-growth stocks, the individual stocks. The telehealth stocks finally had a bounce yesterday. They've been under severe pressure, just severe pressure. You know, Teladoc got up to some just ridiculous multiples. But it is bouncing now. But as far as going back into those teledocs and, Zoom videos and, you know what, I think I'm just going to play in a different sandbox for now. But that's the debate, buy this dip in high growth and high PE and in speculation and the SPACs. In the battery charging companies and the solar stocks, should you buy the dip? Or should you be looking in different, little greener pastures right now after, those have pretty much been exploited, those sectors of the market. But to each his own. We all have our own style of investing. And I do see yesterday and today the money going back into the Riot blockchains and GameStop and fuel cell energy, etc. But is it sustainable? Yeah, I have my doubts. Core CPI index rises slightly less than expected. Okay, there's the catalyst. It's actually the NASDAQ futures were down this morning until that CPI index came along. Core CPI came in plus 0.1. The consensus was for plus 0.2. So that's a part of this fire underneath the market for the second day in a row. Cathie Wood's ARK had a big surge yesterday. It was up 2.4%. The tide had really been going out on that thing. It was down over 30% over the last several weeks. It had a 10% jump yesterday. But still, it's quite a ways off of its all-time high. She continues to buy DraftKings. Oh, let's see. She Tesla, one of her favorites, Square, Zillow, Roku, Teladoc. Those are the high flyers, okay? I mean, there's the debate. Do you go running back into those stocks, or do you shop in different aisles of the stock market, supermarket right now? Global stocks mixed. Worried about inflation? Well, those fears are at least relieved for now. I still worry about inflation. I don't like the steepening yield curve. That, to me, is a big warning. That's not a sign of a booming economy. To me, it's more of a sign of a little bit out of control between the short rates and the long rates. COVID bill relief on the verge of becoming law. Congress is set to give the final green light to President Biden's $1.9 trillion economic stimulus plan today, clearing the way for one of the largest relief packages in U.S. history. It's being hailed as a centerpiece of Biden's first 100 days and includes $1,400 payments for most Americans, expanded unemployment insurance, funding for schools and public health, and state and local government aid. The legislation also includes a per-child cash payment of at least $3,000 for 1 year. Man, I wish I had 10 kids right now living. And an expansion of Obamacare subsidies for 2 years, as well as aid for restaurants, agriculture, and small businesses. Well, the consensus among economists is that the stimulus will boost the economy and supercharge the recovery. Well, therein lies one of the fears of inflation. A forecast from Moody's says the plan can add up to 7 million American jobs. Well, we shall see. We get that jobs report every once a month. What is it, the first Friday of the month? A forecast from Moody's said the plan can add up to 7.4 million jobs, which is important given the levels of unemployment. We're at, what, 6.2%, I believe? 6.2% right now is the unemployment number. The program highly enhances the economic outlook, even outside the U.S., but there are also those that have raised concerns that the sheer scale of the spending could lead to a spike in inflation, as well as deficit hawks who have expressed worries about additional borrowing and what it might mean for the national debt. that conversation also playing out in the political sphere, where Democrats have hailed it as the largest anti-poverty measure in a generation, or what Press Secretary Jen Psaki called the most progressive piece of legislation in history. On the other side of the fence, there's two sides to every fence. GOP members have said the package goes too far in its expansion of public assistance, pointing to only 7% of the $1.9 trillion price tag directed at COVID testing, contract tracing, and vaccine distribution. Well, the public likes it. Who wouldn't? Checks on the way. Your check's in the mail. 70% of U.S. adults favor the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, I've been watching the ethanol and the alternative fuel stocks rally fairly mightily here recently. Well, here's one of the reasons. Three ships carrying U.S. ethanol are now en route to China. Imagine that, China trying to clean up the environment. Three ships carrying ethanol heading to China from the U.S. Gulf Coast, Reuters reported, which could offer a sign that ethanol, which is obviously made from corn exports, are sharply increasing from the U.S. to China. The shipments reportedly could top the total amount of U.S. ethanol that China imported all of last year. Well, this is only March. A positive development for a U.S. ethanol industry that has suffered from reduced demand, well, just like gasoline, because of the pandemic and the U.S.-China trade war. The ships each have a capacity of 30,000 metric tons, or 240,000 barrels of ethanol, although the exact amount of fuel on board remains unclear, according to the report. Well, there's some ETFs here that are involved. There's one called Corn, C-O-R-N. That's been a very strong performing commodity recently. There's another very interesting ETF, F-U-E. F-U-E, that is the biofuel ETF. That's been performing very well. It's a very small ETF, not a lot of money in it, but that's a very good area of the market right now. And then, of course, there's a lot of individual ethanol stocks, such as Archer Daniels Midland. You've got REGI, which is Renewable Energy Corporation. You've got GPRE, which is Great Green Plains. Yeah, now these stocks have all been performing very, very well and showing up in my Best Stocks Now app. Mortgage applications under pressure as mortgage rates rise for the fifth week in a row. You know, I got a mortgage guy. I got to talk to him sometime that goes, we go to church, same church here in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I'm going to ask him how it's impacted his business. I know he was busier than all get out towards the end of last year and most of last year. The 30-year mortgage rate remains at 3.26 this week. Remember, it was under 3 for quite some time. It was at 3.23 last week. On a year-over-year basis, purchase mortgage apps are up 2%, but here's the kicker. Refis are down 43%. From this same time last year. Well, big tech, all right? in the spotlight again. Facebook, Google targeted in a new U.S. antitrust bill for news content payments. You know, the FANG stocks just don't look very good. Do they not? Aren't they not one of the big faces of the tech sector? I looked at those FANG stocks yesterday, and it just wasn't very impressive, the moves that was being made in those stocks, despite the NASDAQ being up. It just seemed to me, as I looked at that move in the NASDAQ, it was the lower quality stocks, the high PE, the more speculative type stuff, instead of your big quality technology stocks. Well, these stocks remain under pressure. Senator Amy Klobuchar and Representative David Cicilline are leading the bill, which will be introduced today. Senator John Kennedy, not that John Kennedy, and Representative Ken Buck have also expressed support for the bill. The reason that's important is because they're on the other side of the aisle. So this is a bipartisan bill for a change. The sponsors are both Democrats, while Kennedy and Buck are Republicans. The bill would let print, broadcast, and online publishers work together to bargain for better cuts of the platform ad revenue. The bill will give hardworking local reporters and publishers the helping hand they need right now so they can continue to do their important work. Well, this was the big argument down in Australia. These big tech firms were using news being, being reported down there and not paying for it. Now that same fight is coming to the U.S. Now here's more trouble for big tech. Biden expected to name big tech critic Lina Khan to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Biden set to nominate Lina Khan, a critic of big tech's market power, for a seat on the Federal Trade Commission. She's a law professor at Columbia University and former Democratic staffer. If confirmed, Khan, at age 32, will be the youngest FTC commissioner ever. But this is not good news for these big tech FANG stocks. Now, Twitter's having problems in Russia. Russia has throttled Twitter. That means slowing it down. Instead of that feed just buzzing through your computer there, you're seeing like one every 10 minutes or so. Russia slows down Twitter's feed following similar actions by governments in Turkey and India, which have also threatened jail time for platform executives. It seems they don't like some of the tweets that are going out. Russia's claiming that they want Twitter. Twitter is failing to remove content that encourages minors to commit suicide, as well as child pornography and drug use. Well, China cracking down on Twitter. And also India and Turkey. Apple bull sees $3 trillion valuation on the horizon. Well, that's got to be our friend Dan Ives at Wedbush. Why not $10 trillion, Dan? Let's just make it $10 trillion. Apple bull sees $3 trillion valuation on the horizon out there. Well, I continue to own Apple. Let's take a look. I didn't think, and once again, you know, here you got this update in the NASDAQ, and Apple is down. And that's not a very good chart on Apple, to be honest. It's very close to its 200-day moving average, which hopefully you'll get a bounce or a lift off of that. But this is another example. As I look underneath the surface, okay, we go up here on the surface, and we see, oh, NASDAQ's up. Well, let's look at some big typical NASDAQ-type stocks. Apple's one of the biggest, the poster child for the NASDAQ. That's just not a very good chart on Apple. But Dan Ives sees a $3 trillion valuation. Well, it's at $2 trillion now. So that would take a 33% move. I guess that's possible. But, I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime. We'll see. Disney passes 100 million subscribers. Now, Disney stock, on the other hand, this is a good example of the market moving away from tech, social media, FANG, etc., going to more cyclical-type companies like Disney. Disney chart looks excellent right now. Apple chart looks very poor right now. I like Disney here at this level. They've got, hey, they're moving up on Netflix as far as subscribers, and you're not paying those ridiculous multiples. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know what? It's happening again here on the market. I saw the S&P bump its head on 39.50 and bang, ouch, that hurt, and it's backing off once again. You're getting another failed attempt at a new high by the S&P. The Dow is still above its all-time high, but it is backing off now. It's tried 3 days in a row to break through that resistance level, and it can't do it. This is reminiscent of what the NASDAQ did several weeks ago when the NASDAQ tried several times to break through 14,100, and it couldn't do it. And you know what? I don't know if the Dow and the S&P are going to follow the NASDAQ into a correction like the NASDAQ went into. But that's all I can say. You're seeing a very similar pattern here with the Dow and the S&P attempting new highs, not making those new highs, instead continuing in this kind of topping out number three pattern that is very ominous. It was ominous for the NASDAQ several weeks ago. The NASDAQ then went on a 10% drop, 12%, somewhere in there, 10% maybe. But you know what? The high falutin area of the NASDAQ, Kathy Woods, for instance, with her ARK fund, it was down 30% when that NASDAQ failed to make those new highs and started to roll over instead. So got to watch this very, very carefully. I don't honestly believe that it's time to be buying the dip in the high PE stuff. To each his own, but that's my very strong feeling. I played in that sandbox for the last year, made a lot of profit in that area of the market. You can see it reflected in our portfolios, but you know what? The market rotates. The market changes. And I see if there's one theme to what's going on in the market right now, it's lowering its risk level. I see big institutions, the T. Rowe Prices, the Fidelities of the world that move most of the money in the market on a daily basis. I see them moving away from high tech, high speculation, high growth, high PE, high price to sales, towards the more cyclical companies that are profitable and trade at much lower multiples, whether it be PEG ratio, whether it be price to sales, whether it be price to earnings, forward price to earnings, you name it. That's what I'm observing in the market right now. All right, let's take a look here. Boy, I'll tell you what, was Jeffrey Immelt one of the worst CEOs of all time? Now GE, I know he's long gone. GE's going to do a reverse split. That's normally reserved for penny stocks. General Electric is recommending that shareholders approve a reverse split at a ratio of 1-for-8. The company says a reverse split would lower the number of shares outstanding to a number more typical of companies with comparable market capitalizations. Well, GE used to have a much, much bigger market capitalization. Today it's $116 billion. It's no longer a member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And check this out. Over the last 5 years, the growth rate at GE, minus 28% per year. That's been the average, hence the need for a reverse split. All right. Newmont to buy GT Gold. You know what? Gold continues to suffer. Gold just has really, you know, you would think with a little bit of fear of inflation out there that gold would be reacting. You got a stock like Newmont Mines, which looks like a value stock to me, but it's just not going anywhere. There's the case to be made. It's one thing. Okay, here's a very important point here. As Bill Gunderson is now saying, you know, I'm moving away from growth towards value. That doesn't mean I just go out and buy a stock because it has a low P.E. ratio and a low forward P.E. ratio. What are the other three things that it has to have? Value is one. Number two, it has to have 80% or more upside potential. That's not easy to find in the value patch. I have to sift through a lot more rocks to find stocks that meet my valuation criteria. I want low P.E., low PEG ratio, but I also want 80% upside potential. That's a lot to ask, but I demand it. Number three, I got to have some momentum there. I don't want a stock that's going sideways. It looks cheap on the surface, but it ain't going nowhere. When these value stocks are moving and, you know, it's not going anywhere, that's not a good sign. And the other thing I need is a technical chart, a one-year chart that looks a little bit perky. Not dead in the water, okay? Newmont may look cheap on the surface, but it has no momentum, and it has a lousy chart. So, you know, I owned Newmont for a while. I gave up on it. I pulled the plug. It just could not gather any steam. Okay, now here's the type of stock that people wonder, should they be going charging back into? How about ChargePoint? ChargePoint was a SPAC recently, and then it became its own trading symbol here, CHPT. Of course, ChargePoint is one of the leaders charging stations for electric vehicles. Now, this stock is more in that sandbox of high PE, very speculative, high price to sales, all that kind of thing. It's out there, way out there on the speculative, scale. It's had a little bounce here, but it would not be one that I would go charging back into. Cowen starts off coverage with an outperform rating and calls it a top EV stock pick. I would say that's another theme I see developing. Barry kind of outlined this to me yesterday, pointed it out. I see the market going more towards picks and shovel type of companies, which ChargePoint is, but ChargePoint's not really profitable yet. But in a lot of these speculative arenas, a lot of these speculative sectors of the market, instead of buying the speculative stock, how about the guys that are making money selling these speculative stocks? That's definitely been a direction that I have taken. In a few sectors where I'm buying more of the picks and shovel companies that make a good steady profit that's reliable and fairly inexpensive, as opposed to buying the stocks that are out there on the ledge. Blink Charging would be another one. Cowen likes Blink Charging. That was a red-hot stock. Now, there again, I'm seeing a bounce, okay, in this NASDAQ bounce, but that is a very weak, anemic bounce that I'm seeing in one of the former leaders of the market, Blink Charging, which charged from $77 up to $64 in a matter of months. That speculative run in the market happened about the time, well, I'm looking at Blink Charging. It happened really right after the election. There was a massive move into alternative energy, green energy, solar, alternative fuels, the electric vehicle space just exploded to ridiculous levels. My work shows that about the first week of February, February the 8th, that bubble reached its zenith, and it popped. It tried one more little rally, and now people are running from that area of the market. Even though you're getting a little relief rally here in Blink Charging, don't blink because it may be gone before too long. Am I going to go running back into a stock like Blink Charging? Well, I'll leave that up to you to decide. Romeo Power, they see that one as another EV winner. Okay, this is Cowan and Company. Well, you know what? That's why I don't have Cowan and Company managing my money. I'm sure they're good. Romeo, wherefore out there, went from 10 to 40 during that speculation bubble. And now it's all the way back to 11. From 10 to 40 back to 11. What do? They manufacture energy-dense lithium-ion battery modules and packs for commercial electric vehicles. Not the kind of stock I'm going to go running back into here. We got a new SPAC coming out today. Several new SPACs. There's been a lot of speculation. DFNS, that is a cybersecurity stock. Just what we need, one more cybersecurity stock. Now, when we come back, there is an interesting IPO coming out today, and I'm going to give you an example of a small-cap value stock. What? They haven't been in favor for 10 years. Well, guess what? They're coming back into favor. In fact, they're leading the market. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment. And, of course, that's one of the debates. You can go where you want to go. You can follow the people that are saying, hey, buy this dip here in these high-tech falutin stocks. The rally in the NASDAQ is almost gone. It's only up 26 points right now after yesterday's big relief rally. I didn't like the quality of the stocks that were moving in it. So that's just me. On the other hand, you've got the ARK investment management, and you've got Cowan, and you've got Wedbush and Dan Ives, and that's what makes for a market. You know, back in March, I wasn't very popular. Back in March of last year, okay, when everybody, the vast majority, were bearish on the market. I mean, not just bearish. They had, this is the Great Depression that's hit us. This is the Spanish flu that's hit us. And I was one of the few that said, no, I think it's going to pass, and I think this is a great buying opportunity. I missed the bottom by 4 days. I know. Someone said, you remind us all the time. Well, of course I do. That was a massive call that I made. And looking back, you know, Gunderson was right, and all these pundits that were writing articles on Seeking Alpha about the end of the world and the doomsday scenarios were wrong. Now here we are 1 year later, and I'm saying kind of the opposite. I'm not saying that a big bear is out there, but I think we've milked this move in the high growth, high P.E., speculative stocks for about all it's worth. And I think it's time to lower the temperature, lower the PE ratio, lower the risk level a little bit and look for opportunities in other sandboxes right now. I'm not going back to the same sandbox where I made all the money in. I just don't feel like that's the right thing. And I'm not seeing it. You know, I'm a guy who's looked at least 500 charts a day for the last 24 years. And I can just see in charts that, you know, it may look good on the surface that the Dow's up 307 or the NASDAQ's up 500 yesterday. But as I looked at easily 1,000 charts yesterday, I just wasn't impressed. I did not find one thing that I said, gee, I got to get back into that. Not one. And at the same time, I found one stock yesterday that I bought in the emerging growth portfolio. I think there's some potential there. Now, today, on the other hand, I haven't seen anything that I want to go running back into. I made a huge profit in Teladoc. I made a huge profit in Fiverr. I made a huge profit in Etsy. None of those stocks are beckoning to me at this time. Other stocks, however, are. In fact, I have 5 potential buys lined up for today. We'll see whether or not I pull the trigger. I kind of continue to sift. I sift and sift and sift until I say, man, that's the one. And then I move in. But anyways, that's me. you know, you go where you want to go. I know where I'm going. Okay, there is an interesting IPO. I'm going to keep my eye on Roblox, RBLX. It's a $50 billion player out there. They make online. It's an online website. A lot of really creative games, educational games for kids. I'm going to play some of those games here maybe tonight if the Padres aren't playing over in Peoria. You know, it's just, I think it's the real deal. There's not very many IPOs. This is not a SPAC. It's an IPO. It's Roblox, RBLX. I'll keep my eye on it. I don't own it. Here's my small cap value stock of the day. I found this one recently, and it is blasting off today. Okay, now here's an example of what small cap value looks like. It's not every stock does not look like this in the small cap arena. We're going to feature Rev Group today. Rev, like vroom, vroom, revving up that engine, baby, getting ready to go fishing. REVG is the symbol. This is a microcap stock. It's headquartered in Brookfield, Wisconsin, okay? So kind of like Oshkosh, by gosh. Rev Group is in a very exciting business. If you go to their website, revgroup.com, you'll see what they make. They make fire trucks. They make trash trucks. They make vehicles for sweeping the floor, you know, at Walmart. All kinds of different things. But here's what makes it a small cap value stock. It's trading at 15 times forward earnings. 15, not 203. 15 times with an expected growth rate over the next 5 years. I have 25% per year. The analyst consensus analyst estimate is much higher than that. I brought it in some. That gives it a peg ratio of under 1. 0.61. Okay, so you can go back into Blink Charging. Go ahead. Or you can go into 15 times forward earnings, 25% growth, peg ratio 0.61. There's no guarantees here, but this is an example of what a small cap value stock looks like. It has 100% upside potential over the next 5 years. Price to sales, 40 cents on the dollar. Price to book, 1.9. Price to cash flow, 16. See, you didn't think I could play the value game. Oh, what's Gunderson going to do when the market shifts away from growth to value? Well, I'm going to shift with it. I've played the value game. I was in big time in value stocks back in 06 through 08. And this is a prime example of what meets my criteria. It's ranked number 148. The app, you know, it doesn't know that the market's shifting away from growth to value, but it has ranked Rev Group at number 148. So it's definitely interpreting the numbers that are coming in, spitting out one of the top ranked stocks in the entire market right here. Now, I don't currently own this stock. It's breaking out today. It was on my buy list for today, and unfortunately they reported earnings and the stock is zooming higher. So now I got to wait for it to cool off a little bit and reconsider it. But we'll make that our featured stock of the day, REVG. That's a heck of a lot different from Chinese electric vehicle stocks, isn't it? Well, when the market rotates, you can rotate with it, or like I say, you can get run over by a steamroller made by Rev Group. All right, well, you know what? If you're stuck in the same old stocks that worked over the last couple of years and you've seen a big hit to your portfolio recently and nobody's minding the mint over there, if you're still in bond funds or they're just getting crunched here and nobody's doing anything about it, we're open for business, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Go to our website, see what we're doing. We're doing a little remodeling around here. GundersonCapital.com. Make an appointment with one of my advisors. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.